మీకోసం నగేష్ పంచాగ్నులా గారి మన దేశం మన రాజ్యం కార్యక్రమం December 18, 2017 నాటి ఎపిసోడ్ పునఃప్రసారం.
వెల్కమ్ బ్యాక్ టు మన దేశం మన రాజ్యం. ఈరోజు December 18, 2017 మన దేశం మన రాజ్యం కార్యక్రమం భారత కాలమానం ప్రకారం రాత్రి 9:30 లైవ్ లో ప్రసారం అవుతోంది. ఈ కార్యక్రమాన్ని 18 డిసెంబర్ 2017 నాడు రాత్రిపూట 9:30 ప్రాంతంలో వింటున్నట్టయితే ఈ కార్యక్రమాన్ని మీరు లైవ్లో వింటున్నారు. ఈ సమయంలో మీరు కార్యక్రమంలో పాల్గొని ఇంటరాక్ట్ కావాలి అనుకున్న శ్రోతలు, దే కెన్ కనెక్ట్ టు అస్ ఆన్ మైండ్ మీడియా అకౌంట్ ఆన్ స్కైప్, అండ్ ఇఫ్ యూ వాంట్ టు షేర్ యువర్ థాట్స్ విత్ అస్, యూ కెన్ ఆల్వేస్ షేర్ దెమ్ ఆన్ ఫేస్బుక్ మైండ్ మీడియా అకౌంట్ ఆర్ on the Mind Media website, MYINDMEDIA, Mind Media website. You can also share your comments or suggestions on Azad Hind Fauz, AZADHINDFAUZ 1943@gmail.com. ee email account dwara kuda Azad Hind Fauz 1943@gmail.com lo kuda mee salahalu suchanalu maato panchukovachu. Before moving into the show, I would like to take this opportunity to congratulate Mind Media and Mana Desam Mana Rajyam team for a small sample survey they have conducted and predicting the results closest than any of the media tycoons. Most of them have predicted 110 to 140, 150 seats to BJP, and no one has given 80 seats, exact 80 seats to Congress. All of them have given anywhere from 40 and below. Mana Desam Mana Rajyam, after the first phase of elections on 8th December in live show, though we have taken precaution, this is the first of a kind survey we have conducted, and the sample was not enough sample, but still our results were more scientific and closest to the actual values. I congratulate the team. We have predicted anywhere from 95 to 96 seats to BJP, just few seats above the required margin, and 80 to 82 seats, between 80 and 85 we said 80 to 82 seats, and 80 seats specifically to Congress party. And 3 seats to the independents. So 80 plus 95 plus 3, that is 98 plus 80, we have given 178 seats, and we have given a margin of 5 seats, 4 seats to go to 182. Making our predictions true, BJP has made 99 seats out of 182, and which is the closest prediction in all the surveys that we have got, all the surveys that were predicted in 2017 elections. As we were focusing more on Gujarat election, we did not conduct any program on Himachal elections, but this gives us confidence that we can move forward and do some more studies in forthcoming elections. We guarantee you we would be doing more surveys during forthcoming elections 2018, preferably in Karnataka. But I wanted to do a small analysis on this election result, because I foresee a big danger for democracy in India in the next 10 to 15 years to come. That doesn't mean one should be happy about BJP elections, or one should be sad about Congress losing, or one should be happy about Congress trying to come back to 80 seats, which is not to be ignored, rather. There are something more, danger bells I am seeing, which are not good in the interest of Indian democracy. So I wanted to go over those details and share them with you as my views and analysis for Indian democracy. But before we jump into that, I wanted to talk to you a little bit more about the biggest losers are the winners of Gujarat election, especially the stars of Gujarat election, and how did they make it. Vijay Rupani barely made in from BJP. Jignesh Mevani, independent, won over with little over 10,785 votes. And then Alpesh Thakur, he again made a slight victory edge over Radhanpur seat, defeating BJP's another Thakur. And he was launched, actually spotted, he had launched a campaign against Patidar agitation, demanding reservation for the community, fearing that a quota of Patidar would reduce the reservation quota for other backward communities. Another person who made from BJP was a 61-year-old Nitin Patel, the deputy chief minister of the state, who also served as minister during Narendra Bhai Modi's cabinet in Gujarat. Another one who made with barely 327 votes was Bhupinder Singh, party leader, had a narrow victory from Dholka constituency by defeating Congress party president Ashwin Rathod just by 327 votes. And then another prominent person who made from Gujarat was from Bhavnagar West constituency with a considerably good majority of 27,000 votes was Jeetu Vaswani. And then we have another person from Congress. Congress newcomer Asha Patel delivered a blow to a five-time MLA Narayan Patel, snatching the constituency of Unja. It also included Vadnagar, which is the hometown of Prime Minister Narendra Bhai Modi. And she polled, she got around 81,797 votes, whereas the BJP secured 62,268 votes. These are the stars who made in Gujarat elections. Vijay Rupani, Jignesh Mevani, Alpesh Thakur, Patel, Bhupinder Singh, Jitu Vaghwani, and Asha Patel. And we have some prominent losers also in this. Prominent losers, most of them appear to be from Congress, the five of them, with one exception from BJP, Jay Narayan Vyas, who lost to Chandan Thakur from Congress by nearly 17,000 votes. So, and then Shakti Singh Goyal lost from Kutch 9,171 votes. He also lost from Congress. And then another person, prominent person, a 60-year-old veteran Congress leader, Arjun Modawadia, from Porbandar constituency, by 1,855 votes, he lost to BJP. And then Siddharth Patel, son of former Chief Minister, Gujarat Chief Minister Chimanbhai Patel, lost to BJP's Sailesh Chota by a margin of 2,000 votes in Dabhol. And then Tushar Chaudhary, the son of Gujarat's first tribal Chief Minister, Amar Singh Chaudhary, Tushar Chaudhary failed to win the tribal reserve constituency and lost to BJP's Mohan Dhodia by 6,433 votes. So these are the prominent losers and winners from Gujarat elections. Now, let us see what has exactly happened in Gujarat elections. We must have been watching Gujarat election result right from morning in TVs. As I told you, Manadesam Manarajyam will not cover the news, will cover the views. I am not going to go over the details of basically all those seats, how many we won, how many we lost, how many BJP won, how many Congress won. I am not going to go through the details. You are all well aware of that. Just for the sake of it, I am telling you, 99 seats were won by BJP, 77 by Congress, 1 by Nationalist Congress Party, 2 by Bharatiya Tribal Party, and 3 by Independents. Basically, these are the seats. Nationalist Congress Party, Bharati Tribal Party and Indian National Congress, all three combined, the Congress plus they call nowadays, is 80, 99 for BJP and 3 for independents. So that is in short about number of seats. So automatically 92 plus seats, BJP is going to form the government. Who the next person, next chief minister of BJP is going to be will be decided by the party probably in their next legislative MLA's group meet. I'm not worried about that. Whoever win, they are going to elect a leader and they are going to swear in, they are going to form the government, they are going to rule. And I'm also not going to discuss about what people are making comments. The moment they started losing, Congress party started making comments that the EVMs are tampered. I'm also not going to go on that discussion too, because that is out of scope of views. That may be scope for news. What I am more concerned here is, one way, BJP has secured 49.1% votes from Gujarat state. It is alarming and a good news. And Congress also secured almost 41.4%. In total, BJP has secured 1,47,24,427 votes, whereas Congress has secured 1,24,38,937 votes. The remaining votes are distributed between independents 4.3%, that is 12,90,000 odd, BTP, BSP 0.7%, NCP 0.6%. AINHCP, RSPS and NOTA secured 5,51,000 votes. 1.8% was NOTA. So, collectively all these things will form around, let us say, 25 lakhs. I'm also not worried about these vote percentage. But the effort that Congress has put in, the strategy that Congress has played in this election and the threat to the country is facing with this kind of strategies and the response given by BJP in this election is what bothers me. Whether they have played right coins and they have responded in right way is immaterial for me as a nationalist. It is for those parties to win and to survive, they make those statements. How they want to, why they want to. Especially Rahul Gandhi attending most of the temples, coming with a tikka to most of the meetings, trying to give the feel and opinion of the so-called Hindu attire and being calling himself as secular, and issue that happened with Rahul Gandhi and Janeu Dhari, those are the things which ring bells somewhere for me. Actually, since morning I was busy watching this news, otherwise I wanted to pick up certain statements made by different politicians in the country, which are widely available on YouTube. Only thing is we need to assort them together to justify my argument in the show, which I failed to do today, but I will definitely bring them out as a consortium of collected items. But please go through what I want to say here. Listen my viewpoint and try to see from the angle that I am seeing that how this kind of election and this kind of result is going to be a threat to Indian democracy in the next 10 to 15 years to come. We take a short break for 2 minutes. I will join right back in Manadesham Manarajyam. We will discuss more in detail about what kind of threat I am emphasizing to the democracy. Stay tuned. I am your host, Nagesh Panchagnula. We'll join back in 2 minutes.
నమస్కారం, నేను మీ కిరవాణి. మీరు వింటున్నారు మైండ్ మీడియా, ద వాయిస్ ఆఫ్ ఇండియా. ఇది భారతీయ స్వరం.
1 minute music bite from band Indo Soul by Kartik Iyer.
The Voice of India.
అమ్మ ఆవకాయ పాత బంగారం. అమ్మ ప్రేమలో ఉండే స్వచ్ఛత, ఆవకాయలో నెయ్యేసుకుంటుంటే ఉండే కమ్మదనం, అలాగే మన పాత బంగారంలోని పాటలు మనందరికీ ఇచ్చే హాయి ఇంకెక్కడుంటుంది చెప్పండి. అందుకే మీకోసం ప్రతి ఆదివారం రాత్రి 8:30 మైండ్ మీడియాలో పాత బంగారం విత్ మీ శ్రీకృష్ణ. సో కీప్ లిజనింగ్ టు మైండ్ మీడియా, ద వాయిస్ ఆఫ్ ఇండియా.
అందరికీ నమస్కారం అండి, నేను మీ రామజోగ శాస్త్రి, గీత రచయితని. మీరు వింటున్నారు మైండ్ మీడియా, ద వాయిస్ ఆఫ్ ఇండియా. ఇది భారతీయ స్వరం.
వెల్కమ్ బ్యాక్. నెక్స్ట్ సెగ్మెంట్ ఆఫ్ ద షో వేర్ ప్రొసీడింగ్ ఇన్ టు ఆన్ దిస్ 18th December 2017. వీ వర్ టాకింగ్ అబౌట్ ద ఓట్ షేర్ దట్ ఈస్ బ్యాక్డ్ బై ద పొలిటీషియన్స్ ఆర్ పొలిటికల్ పార్టీస్ and the analysis that people are taking on political platforms. To be very honest with you, in a triangular contest, even a 33% vote people can automatically form the government. That's what we have been seeing in the past. Just by gaining 32%, 33%, there are several state governments. They have formed the governments. That means 66% people are still not endorsing your thought process. You are ruling the country for 5 years. And nowadays, the trend is slowly changing because a two-party system is slowly emerging in India. Almost since last 20 years, of course, in 2014, the trend was broken by giving absolute majority to Narendra Bhai Modi, to the BJP. Still, we have a coalition NDA government in center. But before that, last time we had absolute majority was the Rajiv Gandhi government, when he secured 400 plus seats in parliament. After that, the total era was a coalition era. Lot of parties joining the hands and forming the government. Sometimes we had pre-election alliance, some places we had post-election alliance. Alliance anadam right word kademo, I say agreements. So people, for their political whims and fancies, especially that regional parties who do not have their presence all over the country, started playing a major role. Tamil Nadu was divided between two tycoons, Jayalalitha and Karunanidhi, and they were taking shelter of one or the other national parties, and they were making their way through the parliament, and they were supporting one party or the other, and then they were coming into power. The RJD, Uttar Pradesh, the Sapa Samajwadi Party, Bahujan Samaj Party have played a major role in joining hands with one or the other Rather, I would say they have joined their hands with both the parties. In one election, they joined with BJP. In another election, they joined with Congress. And then enjoyed the power. In the last 20 years, or 20 to 30 years rather, I would say, this is what was happening on Indian politics. At the time also, previously we used to see in most of these elections, the sepologists used to classify the parties like Indian National Congress and then NDA plus, BJP plus. So that is all other parties. After some time, slowly the trend started turning otherwise. BJP, INC plus. Now it is the other way around. Indian National Congress is joining hands with several other parties. This is what we have been seeing in the last 30 years. So what is there to worry about it? You might have a question. Why are we worried about? Okay, let people join the hands and then share the power. But I tell you one thing. That is not in the interest of nationalistic interest of India. Why? In fact, at this point of time, I even have my own doubts on the total system of democracy in India. Is this indirect way of elections, the parliamentary democracy, is it the right system for a diversified India is another question for me today. Should we have this parliamentary type of democracy, or should we deserve a better mode of democracy to India to safeguard the interest of India and to safeguard the procedures by which parties present their manifestos, come to rulers and then deliver what they have promised? Should there be a better mechanism, or can there be a better mechanism, is another question that I have today. Unless we discuss on these things, unless we throw light on these things, it is impossible in 10 years we are going to be standing at a crossroads and crying that we made a mistake. Why did not we awake 10 years back? If not 10 years, probably 15 years, we are going to definitely come to the roadblock on this road. You may question why. Let me tell you this. In the most of the elections that we see nowadays, especially when a bi-party system, the votes are split between two groups, often the vote share is rising to above 40%, 40, 49, 45, 44. And on 182 constituencies, the difference of vote is just 23 lakhs. 23 lakhs. Difference of vote is just 23 lakhs. And more than 20 to 25 constituencies, the margin was less than 2000. Same thing happened in the elections of 2009 in Andhra Pradesh, the erstwhile Andhra Pradesh also. More than 60 seats, the margin was well below 5000. So, if on 182 seats, if 22 seats have margin of less than 2000 or 3000 rather, that means 55,000 people are deciding the fate of the party which is forming the government. But fortunately, a situation might arise where most of the voters have preferred a party X, but number of representatives got elected by the party Y may be more, or might even have absolute majority in spite of procuring less number of votes. This is one divide which we must be worried about today. If we see from this angle, then Representation of People's Act's purpose itself will be defeated. The majority of the people of a country would like to have something happen in the country, and ultimately something else will happen. This might not be possible if there are more people competing for the position. The chances will be less. I don't say it will not happen. So we should be very careful now. Is it the time for us to redesign our democracy and switch from parliamentary form of democracy to presidential form of democracy is one major question that every Indian voter must have today. That is the first alarm I am going to give you today. And that too in a country with 125 crore people and more than 60 to 70 crore people going to vote, the biggest democratic system in the country, if a slight mandate is going to reverse the fate of the public's opinion, there is a possibility the wrong person might be and taking advantage of that. Then it is not true reflection of people's mandate. That is question number one for today. Now let us see what is happening on the other front. Here I am not discussing about political divide. Here I am not talking about people using their cards, that is like a caste card. Please turn off. It's a caste card or something else or something else. I am not talking about a religious divide in India. I am truly talking about only one aspect, which is a bipartisan election, that is two people contesting and polling percentage of 65 to 75%, and parties crossing 42% of vote share. In the second divide, what I am seeing here is there is a major divide in rural and urban India. That is another divide I am seeing, which is again dangerous. The rural and urban divide. Previously, the policies of the government were designed around rural India, and which was constituting more than 65 to 70% of India, and being a total agrarian community, Indian policy and polity was always around agriculture and rural development. Slowly days are changing. In the last 70 years, we have shown a lot of growth. Technology is going to the nook and corner of the country, and transport mechanism has developed a lot where the commute has reduced. The distance to travel once to northeast was almost 2 days to 2.5 days if you need to go from state capital by road. But now that has come to almost less than a day, especially that golden quadrangle or the roads that we have invested a lot in the last 20 years in India. Be it whatever party they have developed, I am not worried about which party has developed the country. I am only concerned about the development of the country. With that, the gap between rural and urban India is reducing. When such gap reduces, what I expect is there must not exist the political opinions also. They must be almost in concurrence, like the share wise, the thought process must be similar both in rural and urban areas when we are taking democracy as a consideration. Yeah, it doesn't matter. The priorities of people, which are most of them are technology oriented, I don't see a paradigm shift between rural and urban India. But very unfortunately, there is a divide among rural and urban India in terms of their selection of government. That is another detrimental aspect which is being ignored in present day democracy. If there is a divide between rural and urban India, that tells me only one thing. The elected governments are ignoring either one of them, or maybe ignoring both. So that rural and urban divide must be minimized in terms of vote share. But especially in this kind of a democracy where 500 to 2,000 seats are making the deciding factor, are becoming deciding factor. Major percentage of India, geographical percentage of India, might not get right representation. That is another doubt I have on the present democracy system. Is it right for the country, or should we rethink our indirect election mechanism? This is another aspect I wanted to think on. Will such rural and urban divide be right for the country? Alternative to minimize the divide. This is the second problem I am foreseeing for the country. Now let us see the third divide that I am coming at. In the last 40 years, political parties have started using the reservation as a trump card for elections. They started using the reservation for their whims and fancies to sustain the power. Yes, you can make any kind of a promise to citizen of the country and represent them in the government. But luring the people with a false promise, what exactly Congress has done in this election is exactly the same. Knowing that crossing 50% reservation is not going to be possible and have lot of hurdles to get through, and every government, every state government being on the verge of 50% of reservations, they started into encouraging the Patidar and Patel Andolan. They started joining hands. Their goal was only to make sure to somehow get to the helm of affairs and come back to the power. Congress is not an exception in this. Every political party, BJP, is embracing these strategies. The recent effort of Telangana government in enhancing the reservation to tribes to 12, promising reservation to some 6 to 12%, promising Muslim reservations in the state, and recent effort of Chandrababu Naidu, the Telugu Desam government, of promising 5% reservations to Kapu community. These are all election strategies. They have just sent the file to central government and nothing happened after that. These political parties started feeling that they can fool the people for any number of times and any time. So election campaign can also be called as ATF process, anytime fooling process. You can fool the public anytime without understanding the problems of implementing. People are making promises and they are not held liable. It's a promise. There is no check on them whether that promise is doable or not. Give freebies, let the people gain, and then let them vote them. Then you start looting or you start ruling. So ruling and looting have become synonymous to each other. This is the third divide and third flaw I'm seeing the present democratic process. Now, we take a short break. I will come back to you with two more divides that I see. These five divides, what I'm going to talk today, are going to be a big blow on democracy in next 10 to 15 years. If we don't wake up today and address them, we have to face the penalty and the music on that day. The other community was unhappy. He wanted to please other community. Then he proposed Silanyas, and he made the then Bhuta Singh and others to go stand there at Silanyas and ensure Silanyas was done. And he opened the temple gates, the so-called temple gates. Whether the act is right or wrong, what I wanted to impress upon is supreme authority with absolute high majority, unquestionable supremacy, is dangerous to the country. And the two mistakes he has done, 35 years, the people are paying the price for that. All the communal incidents were attributed, the demolition of disputed structure, what not. See, you start the fire and you don't have control over it. It goes wild. And Congress party, right from the beginning, it was taking the attitude of appeasement. You please people. You please people. And it was not willing to please everyone, it was willing to please a selective community. So few days Congress party started dividing the people based on religion. Where it was not possible, they started dividing people based on caste. And of course, I don't want to go into the details of Vamshavad, Jatiwad, all those things I am not bothered. See, those are beyond democracy. Those are only election stunts. You can use them. I am not worried about them. I am only worried about those aspects which are going to be threat indicators to the present day democracy in India. Prantiyavad is another thing in that. That's another dangerous threat. The regionalism. Regionalism is detrimental to the national India, no doubt, any time. So, with the same attitude, the so-called sixth person from the same lineage, Rahul Gandhi, also taken shelter of collecting these people based on caste and wanted to play the caste card in Gujarat election. Actually, he became close to win. But probably Gujarat people were more urgent and have rejected that caste pooling, I believe. He was close. 22 seats won over little less than 2000 majority. Had 11 of them been the other side, today Congress party must have been dancing today. And there would have been celebrations in opposition for next 1 month. So congregation of people based on caste, which is regularly happening in Indian politics, is another detrimental indicator for Indian democracy. Political parties taking shelter of caste congregation is another detrimental indicator. We talked about four indicators. Now let's talk about the most dangerous and fifth indicator. This is most dangerous, I am telling you. If we Indians collectively, beyond caste, beyond religion, won't awake today, we are going to be the losers. We are going to be the losers. Here I am not talking about the religious bias. For me, Indian is an Indian, irrespective of he's a Hindu, Muslim, Sikh, Isai, Farsi, anyone. As long as he is an Indian citizen, for me, he is an Indian. As long as he is a nationalist, he should think the way I'm thinking. If he shelters regionalism, then it is selfish interest. If you are a true Indian, you should be nationalist. That is the beauty of Indian democracy. That's the beauty of Indian system. That is, we believe in unity and diversity. As I told you, if anyone is religious biased and will confine himself into the clutches of religion, please turn off your radio. This is not for you. What I am going to speak is going to be really hurting you. If you see from the religious standpoint of view, you may be Hindu, you may be Muslim, it doesn't matter. As long as your thought process is detrimental to the Indian development, as long as your thought process is anti-Indian, for me, you are not a true Indian. And I don't want you to listen to this show. You can turn off your radio. As I told you, this fifth indicator is very detrimental. Now listen, pay attention carefully. Do not see that whether we are targeting a religion or we are targeting a community. Pay attention to the positivity or a possibility of this imminent danger to India. Listen very carefully. Now, in Indian democracy, always, those days are gone where there is a personality which is nationally accepted. Like we used to have Mahatma Gandhi, Dr. Bhimrao Babasaheb Ambedkar, సర్దార్ వల్లభాయ్ పటేల్, దీన్ దయాల్ ఉపాధ్యాయ్, శ్యామప్రసాద్ ముఖర్జీ, అండ్ టు సమ్ ఎక్స్టెంట్ అటల్ బిహారీ వాజ్పేయి, ఇందిరా గాంధీ. దీస్ ఆర్ ద పీపుల్ హూ ఆర్ నేషనల్లీ యాక్సెప్టెడ్ ఐకాన్స్ ఆఫ్ ఇండియనిజం. పీపుల్ నో దెమ్, పీపుల్ వెయిట్ టు లిజన్ టు దేర్ వర్డ్స్, అండ్ పీపుల్ హ్యావ్ ఆల్వేస్ కన్సిడర్డ్ దట్ దే వాంటెడ్ టు కంట్రిబ్యూట్ సంథింగ్ టు ద సొసైటీ. ఆఫ్ కోర్స్ ఎవ్రీవన్ హ్యావ్ దేర్ ఓన్ నెగటివ్ ట్రేట్స్, బికాస్ యూ కెనాట్ గెట్ ఎ పర్ఫెక్ట్ పర్సన్ ఫ్రమ్ ఎవ్రీ టైమ్ ఫ్రమ్ ఎవ్రీవన్. యూ కెనాట్ ఎక్స్పెక్ట్ 100% బెస్ట్. దేర్ విల్ బి negative aspects for everyone. If we can separate them from the nationalistic agenda, we can definitely consider a lot more people who have supported Indian nationalism. But always, whenever these icons stood by, they have captured at least 1/3 of the majority nationwide. That means out of 500 plus seats we have in parliament, these people, on their virtue, whether it be Congress party or BJP, on their virtue they have had at least 160 seats. Then, because of their political strategies, they started accumulating to small regional parties and like thinker parties, and they started making a simple majority of 272 seats or so, and then formed the governments. What I mean to say is, to form a good government, you require minimum 272 plus seats in the parliament. Then, the 200-240 people were acting as opposition. And very unfortunately, with little over 40 plus seats, this time, the question of opposition party was also at least 10%, I believe they should have to get the status of an opposition leader. So, the rest of the people, the 200, 210, 190, 180 were acting as opposition leaders. We had very strong opposition leaders during Manmohan Singh's government. We had good opposition strength during Atal Bihari Vajpayee's government. We had good opposition strength during P.V. Narasimha Rao time. We had considerably good opposition strength during Rajiv Gandhi tenure. We had weak opposition. Now during Narendra Modi, we have weak opposition. But because these parties, the Congress and BJP, were getting 150 to 200 seats always, there were people rallying behind. Now, all the political parties, they are coming into bipartisan system, only two people, NDA plus UPA plus, and people are gaining 41-49% vote seat. And if they both maintain their stance and then probably get 60% and 40% representation in parliament, you might have a good opposition. But the threat number one, what we talked about, still exists. That is, a 2000 votes per seat and little over 5 to 6 lakh people or 10 lakh people will change the fate of the government of India. In spite of getting more votes, undesired party which got less votes may form the government. That threat still persists. But bigger danger, imminent danger, is this what I am going to talk to you about now. The imminent danger is, when BJP is launching Congress Mukt Bharat, and which is on the verge of achieving its goal, when BJP started its government in 2014, there were only 5 states which were ruled by BJP, 4 or 5 states, I think 5 states. And 6 chief ministers, 6 states, I think. But today, almost 19 states with more than 14 chief ministers belonging to BJP and 19 states belonging to NDA, 80% of the country is being ruled by Bharatiya Janata Party. I'm not going to discuss here the saffronization and all that. That is not important point for me at this point of time. And Modi and Amit Shah duo's Congress Mukt Bharat is almost on the verge of being accomplished. Probably the next elections, Karnataka and 2 or 3 more states, probably we are going to see a similar or a marginal victory over the Congress party, and probably they are going to form the government. Reason what may, I am not bothered to go into the reasons. If Congress says they are tampering EVMs, I leave it to their chest, because those are the people who proposed EVMs in the elections. When they win in Punjab, EMs or EVMs are not tampered. When BJP wins, the EVMs are tampered. So, I am not going to go into the details. That is not an issue we need to be worried about. So, EVM is not an issue. But this kind of strategies that BJP and Congress are marching towards, and anti-incumbency and a lot of other issues, BJP takes Vikas as a mudda, but we will see whether Vikas has really played a role or not, we'll talk about. So with all these things, there is a possibility that BJP might wipe out the Congress governments in the remaining states also. And that's where the major threat comes. Then, the BJP is mainly identified for the protector of Hinduism, and BJP is synonymically seen as another face of RSS. BJP is synonymically seen as another representation of Vishwa Hindu Parishad. And BJP is considered by many people in India as the messiah for Hindutva. We will come back into that, whether it is true or not is a secondary issue, but that's what is the public opinion in most of the people, at least in the minds of the so-called Congress, communist and a Muslim community. I'm not going to go over the details now. Is it true? Neither I am concerned about whether it is true or not. It is immaterial for me. Because for me, as long as you are a true national, you are an Indian, I want to talk to you. I am bothered about that. Now, let us see. If Congress Mukt Bharat occurs, and if BJP also makes the similar mistakes as what Rajiv Gandhi has done 40 years back when he had 30 years back when he had 400 plus seats in parliament, and 18 to 19 states were ruled by Rajiv Gandhi's Congress government. If BJP also makes certain fundamental mistakes, and if country is divided between religion, are we seeing a religious divide again in India? And when no Congress party or when no right opposition is available, are we seeing the MIM as opposition leader in parliament? That is the major question I have today. That's a fifth deterrent. I have absolutely no problem MIM playing an active role in Indian politics. But the way the hate speeches that they come out of that MIM party, I am more concerned about that. The way they have spoken in Maharashtra, the way they have spoken in Uttar Pradesh, the way they have addressed Rahul Gandhi in some of the programs which are available on YouTube, the way they senetically speak about Jinevu Dhari party, the way they use those words, the way they divide the people and provoke them. If the government keeps quiet for 15 minutes, I will show you what we are. Such words, which several cases are going on in the government against them. Jinevudari party. Why can't a Jinevudari be a party president? Is he banned from the community? The way he speaks about my Rahul ji or Sonia ji ko Dar es Salaam mein matha tekne ke liye force karunga. What is this? If such party represents the opposition in Indian parliament, I could not control. Am I seeing another Jinnah coming into the force? One Jinnah has already forced the government, the country, to divide into three pieces. Is it not the time for all those Muslim brothers who have been actively working with national interest and who have represented themselves as a true Indian to come forward and represent India? Cannot be divided on religion. India cannot be divided based on Hindu and Muslim. Is it not time for BJP also to probably involve Shahnawaz Khan and others from Uttar Pradesh to actively participate in Telangana and Andhra Pradesh politics and to curb this polarization? In absence of no one representing the interest of the party, it is quite natural. In Telugu, there is a proverb, Chettu Leni Chota Aamdam Chettu Peddadi. So automatically people will be polarized. And the local regional parties are eagerly waiting to encash such a situation and achieve their temporary goals. Is it not the time to encourage the people who are actively working in Uttar Pradesh for the past years to come in BJP and bring their success stories to Andhra Pradesh and Telangana, and at least to avoid this detrimental fifth element, which is more dangerous, I am talking about? I have absolutely no objection for a Muslim to represent, even becoming the President and Prime Minister of India. But I definitely have an objection for a person with a rational thought and hatred towards a community, let it be Hindu community or a Muslim community. If a fundamentalist becomes a Prime Minister of India, I have my own objections. Let it be from Islam or let it be from Hinduism. I don't endorse a Hindu fundamentalist also become the Prime Minister of India. These are the five deterrents that we have. Five detrimental aspects we have in Indian democracy today. If we don't address them today, 10 years down the road, we are going to break our heads with this. And I am sure one fine morning, we will be having a person like Muhammad Ali Jinnah represent the opposition party in parliament. Anyhow, it's already time. I'd like to call off, sign off for today. You would like to share your views on this program? As again I am telling you, I have absolutely no problem any person becoming to the helm of affairs in India, let he be a Hindu or a Muslim. But I definitely have a concern as a true Indian if a fundamentalist comes to that seat, either opposition leader or a government leader. I don't want any fundamentalist. Let him be Hindu fundamentalist or let him be Muslim fundamentalist. Both of them must be barred to sit on the helm of affairs. The secularism of India must be protected at any cost. The wrong propaganda of the so-called fundamentalists must be addressed. If these kind of errors these political parties do, pretty soon we are going to be having these problems in Indian democracy. you have any questions, do address them at azadhindfouse1943@gmail.com. I will try to answer them in the next show. We will join back again on 22nd December, that is Friday at 9:30 p.m. on Mana Desam, Mana Rajyam. This is my media, the voice of India. Thank you very much for tuning in. I am your host Nagesh Panchagala, signing off for the day. Have a good night.
అందరికి నమస్కారం. నేను మీ అంజన సౌమ్య. మీరు వింటున్నారు మైండ్ మీడియా ది వాయిస్ ఆఫ్ ఇండియా. ఇది భారతీయ స్వరం.
వన్ మినిట్ మ్యూజిక్ బైట్ ఫ్రమ్ బ్యాండ్ ఇండో సోల్ బై కార్తిక్ అయ్యర్.
This is your playback singer Bhargavi Pillai and you're listening to Mind Media, the voice of India. Idi Bhartiya Swaram.
Namaste, nenu Sunita. Meeru vintunnaru Mind Media, the voice of India. Idi Bhartiya Swaram.
Politics, crazy facts, relations, affections, scams, damn, sports, famous holiday spots, గాసిప్స్, క్రేజీ టిప్స్, ఇలా కాదేది ఈ ఆర్జే వెన్నెలకి అనర్హం. అందుకే నాకు తారసపడినవన్నీ రసరమ్యంగా మీకు అందిస్తాను. చిత్రం భడారే విచిత్రంలో స్టేట్ ఉంటూ మై ఇన్ మీడియా, ద వాయిస్ ఆఫ్ ఇండియా. వింటారు కదా మీ ఆర్జే వెన్నెలతో.
వన్ మినిట్ మ్యూజిక్ బైట్ ఫ్రమ్ బ్యాండ్ ఇండో సోల్ బై కార్తిక్ అయ్యర్.
వరకు మీరు విన్నారు నగేష్ పంచాగ్నుల గారి మన దేశం మన రాజ్యం కార్యక్రమం డిసెంబర్ 18, 2017 నాటి ఎపిసోడ్.